The views stated by the hosts of this podcast are opinion only and should not take the place of a qualified healthcare professional or mental health specialist. This podcast is for education and recreation. Welcome to Ask a Hag, the movie edition, about self-care and witchcraft in the modern world. I am Allison.
I'm Leslie.
We are asked questions every day in the work that we do within our community, and this podcast is a space for us where we can share our knowledge and experience as witches and healers. This is a place where you, dear listener, can find inspiration and also feel empowered wherever you are on your journey. The movie episode, you guys. It's Halloween.
It is.
And this is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Halloween. Halloween.
Halloween. Halloween.
Your backup singers.
Oh, I love it so much. Thanks, guys. So this is our third.
I can't believe it.
I know. I can't either. Our third Halloween.
It's the triple moon episode. Goddess episode.
Maiden Mother Crone. Yep. And we have a very special guest.
Yes, we do.
Elizabeth Sanchez.
Hi.
Of Horse Thief Silver. Yes. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay.
And for our Pittsburgh folks, Elizabeth has a local shop here too.
She does. It's called High Noon.
I do.
And a really rad Instagram account too. So check it out. So you lovely listeners know that the Ask a Hag gang loves spooky movies,
yes,
all things Halloween movies. So this is our third episode, and we're really excited to talk about our movie picks this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got three. Spoiler alert. Those of you who are listening who have not heard these movies before, we will be talking about all sorts of things regarding the movie. So I apologize ahead of time.
That it's is true.
Two-thirds of them are ancient, as Donna says. So buckle up. Leslie.
Yeah.
Allison. What is your favorite Halloween candy this year?
It has to be the Reese's peanut butter pumpkins.
Oh.
It just doesn't really ever change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin's the best shape.
Yeah. Pumpkin is the best shape.
Jim came back from Erie, did some grocery shopping at Wegmans, and picked up some Twix.
Ghosts.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my Twix gosh.
Ghosts.
Are they shaped like ghosts?
He's like, do you want to get into these? And I'm like, I'm not ready yet for this.
Yes.
I'm going to need to be ready for this. When did you have it?
Like 2 years ago. They're primo. They make Reese pumpkins look like a fucking turd.
That's a terrible thing to say.
But they're well done.
But yeah. Are they like, so you too?
I've never, I'm just, you know,
really
trying to understand.
Like, how's everybody?
Not me. No.
Oh,
Allison, have you?
Yeah, I've had them. Yeah.
Are they top notch?
They are top notch. They are the classiest.
Listen.
The classiest fucking
Halloween. By the time I get home, it's quite possible that Jim's gotten into them already. So I may never know. It's like, no.
He's sitting in a bubble bath. Just having
shower cap on.
La la la, la la la.
Twix ghosting.
Elizabeth, yeah. Do you have a favorite Halloween candy?
Yes, but it's not that exciting.
That's okay.
I really love the popcorn balls.
Oh.
Okay, how do you eat those?
You smash them up, and yep, then you open them up and eat them. Duh.
Very smart as shit. Genius.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All these years, I've been trying to eat those fuckers like an apple.
I do the same thing.
No.
You do, Donna? Throw it.
And you want to love it so much.
I do. And every time.
Me too.
And you give like the hard eye roll to the people throwing them in your bag. You're like, cool.
I would have traded you if we were kids trick or treating.
Is it like caramel flavored or?
A little bit. It's just very, I don't know. It's something
it's
between
kettle corn.
Yeah,
right?
It's something between caramel and kettle corn. Mm-hmm. It's very
and like so.
Light.
You still will like treat yourself to like a popcorn ball. Like,
well, I haven't seen them in recently? Years, but that is my all-time favorite thing. You know.
Okay.
I'll find them someday.
Okay. You will.
Or you'll have like some nice old lady make them for you.
I hope
Wouldn't
so.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Who are you pointing at?
My mother.
Yeah, does mother. She make popcorn balls? How?
No kidding.
Donna, your mom is just the best.
So cute.
Mm-hmm. Really the best.
She right smokes, next door.
She smoked Misties.
Misties. She smoked Misties.
Oh, I know the Misties.
N-O-W. Oh,
my mother smoked Nows.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We talked about this, didn't I used to have to cut the filter off. Now 100s.
That's what she smoked.
When I would snag them and steal a pack from her carton. Yeah, yours. What's
well,
yours?
Well, my favorite Halloween candy is Butterfinger, mm-hmm. but the mini. I can't eat a whole one.
Fun size.
Fun size, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's great in like one bite, you know? But I also, off topic, but on topic, candy-wise... So Brock's, the brand that makes candy corn.
Oh, yes.
They have made a Thanksgiving dinner variety pack. Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. I don't understand.
Yeah. So
like a little, it's like a candy corn turkey. Is it like thrown into a bag, like a bag of Runts or something?
Yes.
Or is it presented?
No, it's like it's a mixed bag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right.
Is there like a turkey leg in there or is it?
Well, I haven't laid eyes on them yet. I've just heard with my ears about it.
I haven't laid a,
so I don't.
I've not laid my eyes upon
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like the same shapes but different colors.
Oh, gosh, I'm intrigued. Okay,
I am too. So, research.
Jim picked up a bunch of fun treats for his dad, also at Wegmans, mm-hmm. and we're going to be sending him a little Halloween pack. And his dad loves Peeps, and he got a Frankenstein Peeps.
Oh my God.
Ghost Peeps.
Oh yeah.
And then I think pumpkins,
oh.
which makes sense. But the Frankenstein Peeps
That's
blew my
cool.
mind. And I think there might have been a popcorn ball.
Mm.
And then there were like gummy boogers in the outside of it. It was like, looks like real boogers. Ew. And I'm like, but what's happening here?
Right.
It's like feeding like a vegetable-based steak to a vegetarian. Like, here, it looks like a real steak, but it's not steak. You know what it was just
yeah,
like?
Yeah.
Looks like real boogers.
But like, if you're a candy maker, how do you come up with this concept? It's like... Who are you?
And like, who's the tasting panel that's
Seriously?
Like, wow, these really look like boogers. They're like, let's go put that on the box.
Maybe the concept came after they created it. And they're like, wait a minute. You know what this reminds me of? And wait a minute, Stan.
Oh, man, we screwed up. Well, let's not scrap it entirely. We might have something here. You know, they do look like boogers. We're getting close to the season.
We are.
Of the Halloweenies.
It's true. We're in it right now.
We are.
Technically.
We've arrived.
You said it earlier. Because you started... So High Noon is right down the street from Ceremonial PS. But we... So we were having lunch yesterday and she started talking about things. I'm like, shut, stop it.
Uh-huh.
We can't see each other for 24 hours. Like, you're going to have to... Like,
yeah.
I can't see you till tomorrow.
Getting rid of me.
Poltergeist right here. Hey, it's Poltergeist Sanchez. No exercising that demon.
Why is she throwing plates around?
See me. But you were like, oh no, this is when you're driving in the car too. You were saying like.
It's just really cool that there's a whole season dedicated to spooky stuff because it's my favorite thing year round. And now I feel normal in October.
Yep. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Well, so who wants to go first? I can go first.
Go first.
Okay. Yeah.
Go for it. Because the one you're going to share is just such a perfect
Well, it is
to
a good
begin.
Kickoff, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
All
so.
Right. Okay, yeah. You guys, twist my arm. So my movie is Hocus Pocus. An absolute joy to behold.
Tis.
A classic.
Tis.
It's I watch it several times a year.
Do you?
To be honest with you. Yeah, just if I'm in the mood, you know.
Yeah.
Bette Midler to me is a class act. I have really enjoyed everything that she's been in. Seeing Bette Midler present herself in this way is just A+. I mean, her makeup, her costume... her mannerisms, the way she creates the character. It's her teeth. Her teeth. Yeah, I mean, just the total package. Hocus Pocus came out in 1993. It is a Disney film starring Bette Midler, Jessica Sarah Parker, and Kathy Najimy. And it is set in Salem, Massachusetts. And it's basically all about the Sanderson sisters. Those three people that I just mentioned play the Sanderson sisters. And lots of crazy, kooky things happen. And so instead of, you know, going through the actual plot, I hope the listeners have seen this film. I just wanted to talk a little bit about some factoids about the film itself.
I love this.
One of my favorite scenes is when Billy Butcherson, who is the zombie, he has his moment to tell off the Sanderson sisters, and he takes a knife and cuts his mouth open, and like dust and debris and moths fly out of his mouth. Well, they used real moths in those scenes. This actor held moths in his mouth until it was his turn to, you know, speak his lines. And his lines in those moments were also improvised as well. They didn't actually write them. Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
I love that.
And he is one of my most favorite characters.
He's actually my favorite character. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's really sweet and he, you know, he feels controlled by the Sanderson sisters, but he turns out to be really excellent in the end and helping everybody out.
Yeah.
So he's really dear. So Kathy Najimy actually stalked Bette Midler prior to this film. Kathy was a self-proclaimed obsessed person with Bette Midler as an actor, and did some like crazy things, like try to get backstage at one of like Bette's performances and stuff. Yeah. So there was a bit of like tension on the film set a bit, you know, during the first like meet and greet, which is interesting. Also, you Rosie O'Donnell say. Was supposed to play Mary Sanderson's part, but turned it down, and then Kathy got it. So, which I am so grateful for, because she did a fantastic job.
Kathy probably forced her.
Rosie Kathy did. Probably did force her.
She was like, "You're not gonna take this part."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I love these back behind the scenes.
Yeah. So there's some points where Bette Midler says things like thundering oaths and maggoty malfeasance, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, Midler's assistants would follow her around on set. With dictionaries of old curse words and terms. And it would just like flow out of her on camera. Isn't that fun?
I love that. I love Bette Midler so freaking much.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So does Kathy.
So does Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
The big dance hall scene. The big costume party scene, mm-hmm. where they're like, "I put a spell on you," you know, that whole process. All of those costumes were recycled from previous Disney films because their budget was so small. They spent most of their budget on the Sanderson sisters' costumes. So they had to like improvise. And Bette Midler was in a movie called Gypsy, and there's a lot of costumes from Gypsy in that scene. So it's kind of like a, you know, an homage to her work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the last little tidbit I have is the character Allison's home is a real place in Salem, Massachusetts. It's called the Ropes Mansion, and it's currently a museum, but it is hella haunted. Ooh. Big time haunted. It was named after the last family that owned the house. It's just their last name. Sorry. I don't know.
I was hoping for a little more there too, but yeah.
Sorry.
They were rope makers.
It was originally built in the 1700s, and it was occupied by the Ropes family for generations. But there's a lot of like weird things that happen, and there was a poltergeist there at one point in time, not currently active. Freaky weird fires have happened there for no explanation as well. So it's really cool to see like a historical building in this specific film, because it brings like a lot of the essence of the, you know, of the energy of the film out, which is cool.
And you said it's in Salem.
It's in Salem. Yeah. A lot of the scenes were filmed in Salem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have a tour.
They do. Right?
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's Hocus Pocus. I like it.
I had never seen Hocus Pocus in the 90s, like when it came out.
Me too. Yeah.
And
it was a big flop, apparently.
I mean, I had no... and then when I went to Berklee College of Music, my roommate, Brianna, was obsessed with Hocus Pocus. And that was the first time I'd ever seen it. And that was 99. Mm-hmm. And we watched it incessantly and had so many jokes about it, and then would go over to Salem and hang out in Salem, and but then quickly just fell so in love with it.
It's so good. It's just timeless.
It really is.
In some of my research, because I did read about it a little bit, they were comparing it to the spells that are in, I can't remember the Shakespeare play right now. It's escaping me.
Macbeth.
Yes. That's the one.
Okay.
The Wayward Sisters or the Weird Sisters.
Yeah, the Weird Sisters.
Yeah. So, yeah, some of the spells maybe were loosely based on that. Which is pretty cool, and that's why there's three witches also.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
It's the Maiden Mother Crone. Mm.
Maiden Mother Crone, mm-hmm. That's right.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't you, like, this is, aside from the witchy aspect of Hocus Pocus, 80s and 90s bedrooms and houses are always the coolest.
How does
this kid have the coolest room? He's got this, like, staircase going up to a widow's nest.
Yep.
And he's got drums, and he's got this cool little, I mean.
Yeah, those were the days.
Like Ferris Bueller's bedroom, one of the coolest bedrooms. And like,
Free Willy. Do you remember his bedroom?
I never saw Free Willy.
But.
It's a pretty nice bedroom.
Never seen it. Really? Good bedroom? And the houses are always so cool. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yes.
Great house.
Home Alone.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That house was for sale a couple of years ago.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm. Snatch it up.
It's a lot of rooms.
A lot of rooms. A lot of red.
A lot of what?
A lot of red.
A lot of
tons of red in that house. Oh
really?
My God. Red everywhere.
I remember.
My favorite scene is when the Sanderson sisters show up at that house and they discover Master.
Oh yeah, Master.
Oh my God, is that funny?
He has
a little woman.
Yeah.
And then they think she's Medusa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's Penny, Laverne and Shirley. Penny, what's her name? Laverne and Shirley. Penny.
She was sassy.
She was
that
sassy.
Is Laverne from Laverne and Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole part leading up to that with the bus driver, too, is really hilarious.
Penny Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Hubba, hubba.
Yeah.
We are looking for children.
It might take me a few tries, but...
Oh, my God.
The one scene where she takes her fingernail and cuts the screen.
Oh, yeah.
That's oddly satisfying.
It is really satisfying. Oh, yes. It's true.
It's a good one. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that Sarah Jessica Parker. So, you know.
Yeah. Kathy, what's her name, was in both Sister Acts.
Oh, yeah.
She was. Oh, that's right. I really love her. She plays some really great characters, and she's always like really tender. And something else that I read, her Mary Sanderson was designed to look, her hair was designed to look like a pumpkin. So like her hair is like up in that top knot that's kind of like a corkscrew sort of, and it's meant to look like a stem of a pumpkin, which is just so cool. And They used like a prosthetic nose on her for a while in the test shoots. And you know how like her superpower is like sniffing things out, right? They thought it made her look too much like a dog. And so they took that off and they were like, okay, this is perfect. And I agree. Like she's really, she got it down, man. I think she's the best. Like I love Bette Midler so much, and her character, it has a huge presence, but I really think that Kathy's work in this film was understated and just like fabulous. You know, she's like, let's do the calming circle. You know, it's like, I sense a little tension. just her delivery, and she's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
The scene where they lose their brooms, the girls rock off with the brooms, where they go see the master. Mm-hmm. And then you see, you know, Winifred come out with a broom, and then Sarah Sanderson, maybe, or whatever, comes out with a mop.
Uh-huh.
And then Kathy's got a vacuum cleaner.
I love that.
So great.
Such a cute scene. It's really awesome. It's so well done.
Yeah. And it's a movie for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, people who don't like super creepy things, because we've reviewed some creepy movies this past years, you know. This is a great film for it's awesome.
Yeah, indeed. It. Agreed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I've heard. Whoa. But I think that COVID has really kind of put a stop to the timeline, but it's still in the works.
How do you feel about that?
I think it's great.
Do you?
I want to learn more all about them. I love them.
Like, are they going to do it through the lens of like a more like a spookier?
I don't know. Oh, what? I don't know. But originally the film was a lot spookier, but they turned the spooky factor down because they wanted it to be appropriate for everyone.
That's cool.
So they might, I mean, who knows? They might, they might make a creep factor happen.
All right.
But all I've read is that, yes, it's in the works.
Before we conclude with Hocus Pocus, I have two favorite words that were said, that from, you know, a sort of a comical lens that I forget is such great words. And the first one is zit face.
Oh yeah. Zit face.
The little sister calls the one, you know, hey, zit face.
Max.
And it's, yeah, it's
right. Oh no. Max is the brother.
I think it's the bully boys or something. Yeah. That she,
ice.
Zit face.
It's a good one.
I've got to remember that. Mm-hmm. I've got to remember that. And the other one is when they're going out to the Ropes Mansion that you're and she, that, you know, the little sister's there and she's sassy and she's like, yeah, Max talks about your, what are they called? Yabos?
Yabos.
Yabos. Like zany 90s references.
Very much
to
so.
Woman's body parts.
Yep. Yep.
Enter yabos.
How embarrassing.
God. It's too cute.
Danny is also one of my favorite characters. She's super cute.
Yeah,
a little sassy. She's got that cute little sun. I was trying to like zoom in. She wears this little sun top with her witch's costume. It's very, very
and the fringe.
Cool. Little fringe. She's very cute. Well, I think we should maybe let our listeners know why Elizabeth is such a good fit for the show, because we haven't really talked about that. We know that Elizabeth makes jewelry and has a shop and in Pittsburgh here, but probably one of the creepiest people I've ever met. One of the biggest creeps I've ever met. I know Elizabeth well. She and Jim will text and like recommend scary movies, and she's recommended a handful of movies, and I'll see her the next day. I'm like, how do you watch that alone at night and go to bed?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's just something I do.
Yeah, I just
could just relax.
Find it comforting to watch horror movies at night before I go to bed and get cozy. I don't know. It's not normal, but it's my
Marnie's
thing.
Like that though.
Oh yeah, Marnie, you know? Is absolutely
that's
like
true.
That.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I watch creepy stuff by myself too.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm inspired.
I just think it's how people are wound, you know. It's not, it's just, you know, it's not like good versus bad or like, you know, wusses versus strong people. I just think it's how our brains are wired.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I've always, ever since I was itty bitty, been into anything creepy, supernatural, occult stuff. So I guess it's just been with me forever.
Can you remember the first scary movie that really got you?
I can remember Candyman.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
I traumatized
love that
me.
Film.
That movie, I love
it. Love it.
And the remake's happening right now.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
Mm-mm. I'm not sure if I can watch it yet. I still can't watch. That's the one that got me. Yeah.
The original Candyman?
Don't say. Mm-hmm.
It was so terrifying to me.
Yeah.
You were probably a little too young for it then.
I was in third grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in first grade, I saw Night of the Living Dead. And that was kind of bad, but it wasn't as bad as this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My pick is House of the Devil. And I picked it because it's a modern horror movie that's made to look and feel like classic 80s horror movies.
Love
and
it.
They do such a good job. Ty West is the director. And he did a wonderful job, in my opinion, with like the texture of the film and the way it's shot. And it's just very nostalgic and comforting. Mm. Another thing I find comforting is like the 80s, because I grew up in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was the first thing that impressed me about the film when I saw it. Mine is also set in New England. That house, the House of the Devil, is in Connecticut. The main character is a college girl named Samantha, and she's trying real hard to get out of living in dorm life because she's got a very disrespectful roommate. So she finds an apartment, and the landlady's really nice. Like, she doesn't need to put down a deposit or anything, but, you know, obviously she needs money. So she sees this sign on campus for a babysitting job, and she calls the number and eventually, you know, tells her best friend about this job. And she's like, okay, I'll give you a ride out there. And they get out there, and she discovers that she's not actually babysitting a child, but the man's mother, I think it is, or his wife's mother, someone's mother is upstairs, and she doesn't see her, doesn't meet her, and he essentially gives her $400 to watch this older woman, which is an obscene amount of money for a four-hour babysitting job.
4 hours?
Yeah, so already, like, red flag number two. Like, first, it's not a kid. Second, right. Yeah. $400. What ends up happening is her best friend's really upset with her and saying, this is not a good idea. I mean, always listen to your friends.
Absolutely.
Man. Anyways, so her friend ends up trusting her, leaving her there, and, you know, she's just hanging out and ends up ordering a pizza. And while she's waiting for the pizza to arrive, it's one of my favorite scenes, is she's just listening to her giant brick of a Walkman.
Oh, yeah. I felt this so hard. This is
so cute.
A good scene.
Yeah, she's just bopping around, dancing on the couch, like having fun. And then she like bumps into a vase and breaks it. And that end of anything happy happening ever again in this movie.
Oh, no.
So she cleans up the vase. Eventually the pizza gets there, and it tastes awful. Obviously it's been messed with.
Uh-oh.
Because it's delivered by somebody who's not from a pizza shop. It's like somebody in on the thing.
Oh, yeah, and the guy was like, hey, don't forget about that pizza. And,
yes.
And before I leave, just one more thing. There's money on the fridge about that. Like, all right, we get like three times he tells us.
There's a lot of pizza going on in this movie.
Pizza, pizza, pizza.
Yes, yeah, so much
pizza going on.
Yeah, the girls get pizza and discuss everything before they go to this babysitting gig. Yeah, it's just a lot of
pizza.
But
isn't that like an 80s thing?
Yeah. You know? For sure, for sure.
Pizza. For sure.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess I should mention this movie is also set around the time of Satanic Panic, and that is essentially what this is based on. Is turns out that it's a satanic cult which has lured her in through the babysitting job, and they intend to impregnate her with the spawn of Satan.
Spawn of Satan.
And, but then she also is one of those, like, last women surviving, like, that kind of vibe. So, like, she does get away from them, but she's still, you know, impregnated. And, she really, there's nothing she can do about it. It's a lot, it's very similar to Rosemary's Baby in that way, where it's, like, a woman being held against her will and being forced to have a child she doesn't want, and it just happens to belong to Satan. Those kinds of things. But yeah, the end is very ambiguous. You don't know exactly what ends up happening, because she shoots herself in the head to be like, oh yeah, well, I still have a way out. And turns out she survives. So she's kind of screwed. She's got this weird fetus inside of her.
Oh my goodness. And this is all taking place during a lunar eclipse at the winter solstice. We should say that this is what's happening.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like on all the TVs, it's like, oh, it's an astronomer's dream and this is the night things are happening. And
when she shoots herself, the eclipse doesn't end up happening.
Yeah, that is
something they're like, it's the weirdest thing. We don't know what happened. So it's kind of like she altered the course of something, but we don't know what.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is there a sequel?
I don't believe so.
That does make it awesome.
These are like scary moments in this movie.
It did get you less.
It got me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got me. But it was just quirky enough that it didn't haunt me. But like I think the creepiest part is this, the man.
The father.
Mm-hmm.
He's the kind of guy that's like very tall, and you can tell he's really got like a screw loose, but he talks very calmly.
Mr.
But
Allman.
Assertively. You know, it's creepy. He's creepy. He's creepy.
He does a good job.
He does a fine job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we do meet grandmother.
Oh, she exists.
She exists.
She does exist. But,
she does the painting of the blood on the girl's body for the ritual.
So she's like the den mother,
and
basically.
She's like doing like over the womb.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know, painting blood
anointing.
Over the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Anointing. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
In the form of a pentagram.
Yes.
Oh, naturally.
Yes,
Satanic panic. Huh?
Yeah.
But like, here's the thing. Like, we've all gone. Well, I was a big babysitter. Did you all babysit?
Or I did.
Babysitting thing.
Totally.
You were always looking for the place in the house that you felt the safest.
Yes.
And I feel like she was kind of doing this where she was like feeling out, oh, I don't like this room. And then she kind of found her camp, right? And she popped down and was listening to music. And I thought she was sketching a little bit too. And then.
Yeah, she probably was. I mean, if I were her, I would have explored more.
Well, we know
she
you
was
would've.
Snooping.
You're such a creep.
I know. I would have gone in the basement.
Well, then she
for
goes.
Sure.
The wife comes down and she's all glamorous looking, and they're going to this party, and she's wearing a fur, and she's like, "Well, you know, my furs are in the basement." And then when she's looking for a broom to sweep up the vase, she goes into one of the closets, and all the furs are in there. And our character's like, "Wait a second.
That's weird.
That's weird.
That's suspicious."
Mm-hmm. Lots of red flags.
Yeah, there are so many. I mean, she was doomed from the start.
Sure.
But did the water even taste weird to her, too?
It did.
Jim and I were talking about that. Yeah. She would take a sip of the water and, like, it didn't taste good.
Nothing was right about this place.
Nothing
at all.
Mm-mm.
So.
And then, I mean, there was a family there before.
Yeah.
Because this is a spoiler alert. Like, they're going to have to have seen this by now. So this is where I was curious. She finds photos of the family that lived there before.
Mm-hmm.
Is this correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then these people moved in and did a ritual on the family in one of the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And she walks in and sees their remains in a circle.
Yeah.
A casted circle.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Mutilated.
Decorations.
And so she's freaking out, and then she runs up to the attic, and there's so many times that she almost gets out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really slow burn until a certain point, and then it's just like a lot of action, and it's just one of my favorite movies to watch.
That's excellent. Spooky, spooky times.
Yes.
What do you think about those satanic movies, Allison?
I don't mind them.
Oh.
I think they're... She's like, damn it. I
don't like them?
They turned my stomach.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
So, Donna.
Between aliens and Satan, like, which one's scarier?
I don't like either of them.
Okay, so they're equally top-notch. Is there something scarier than aliens and Satan?
A satanic alien.
A satanic
alien. No. I think I think I can handle aliens now.
I want to see a satanic alien.
I do too.
That would be awesome.
I think I'm going to go as a satanic alien for Halloween next year.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to get that together. I'm going to do it.
You're going to have to show Elizabeth your mask.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I would love to see this mask.
We'll have time for the mask.
Okay. Will we have time?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know which is... I mean, I don't know which... I don't... I'll get back to you on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So would you watch a scary movie like this? Like,
yeah.
Would you coping mechanisms? Is there something that
lots of blankets, probably, huh?
Well, blankets in my fringe.
Uh-huh. Help. Oh, yeah, fringe.
Naturally.
Oh, fringe.
Cats in gym nearby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then... But this was okay because it was like campy enough. Yeah. Like if it's really campy, I can handle it.
Oh, sure.
But like some of the newer modern things, I won't do.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm. I won't like The Taking of Deborah Logan is hard to watch alone. I'll admit that's
such a great movie.
I've never seen that.
Oh.
You got to.
Oh, you too would really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because it's a way of like, not to go into this too, but looking at dementia and...
Yeah, it's more than just simply demon possession, which is one of my favorite types of horror movies because they scare me the most. I know, mm-hmm. I know.
You're such a creep. I love it. I love them too.
Yeah.
I love them too.
It's one of my most... I mean, my whole life it's been a big fear of mine, demon possession, and I don't know why. And then I just love to watch those movies.
As she grabs her comforting sweater and holds it close to her.
Everybody says something.
Yeah.
Like something that's really scary.
But what scares you?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Solitary confinement.
Ooh. Mm,
that's a good one.
Yeah, Jim says his is prison.
Prison stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like secure mass prison. And then like Auschwitz kind of like.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 I want to read all about it. And then,
oh, that's one of mine too.
But it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
You mean like the Chernobyl. Big bomb and the, yeah.
Yeah.
Watching Chernobyl was so hard for me.
Chernobyl was
so
fantastic.
Good. Yeah, it's wonderfully done, but
it's one of the only shows that I would like actually yell at the TV screen.
Really?
I'm like, can you fucking believe this is going on? And Dawn was like, yes, it actually happening. I'm like, what? I just had, you know? Yeah.
So what's yours?
Poltergeist.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Really scary for me.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
But fascinating. Mm-hmm. To the point where I have found a couple of accounts on TikTok that like has videos and stuff, and I will absolutely
be breathing into the mic.
Check my pulse. I can't handle this.
What? No, I'm warm. I'm getting warm.
Allison, why do you do that to yourself?
Because
it's so
this bothers me.
I do it too, Allison. I'm on TikTok in bed, just like watching spooky stuff on TikTok. Whatever. Like, I just want to know.
I want to know too.
I've watched Sex and the City like a million times, and that's all I can handle. That's all I can handle.
I've never seen that.
It's all I can. It's like Fifth Avenue and high heel shoes and like martinis. That's like that is what I can handle.
Yeah. So like I think it's just about how we soothe ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some of us really want to look into the darkness and want to understand it. Because we are fucking terrified of it, you know? And then other people don't.
I've been there and I don't want to go back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And frankly, I respect that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I love true crime so much. It's the same. It's like the same itch that I'm trying to scratch.
Yeah. So just for a moment.
Just for a moment.
As we're sitting in this for a second, because I believe this, and... This is one area with Jim that I do hold a little pause with because he's always like, let's watch a scary movie. Let's watch. And I feel like it brings my frequency down. I feel like when I watch it.
I agree.
I am like now. But then again, somebody could say that watching Sex and the City 1,000 times also brings down my frequency.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like if I put myself in a dark, negative experience for 2 hours where I'm scared to death,
mm-hmm.
full of anxiety, pulling at my cuticles, that's bringing my energy down.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I don't want to be around that all the time.
I can't explain it to you, but mm-hmm. I have similar experiences. So if I am like binging podcasts all the time, nothing but murder, 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 I definitely notice it for sure. So I have to like balance it, you know? So that's why I listen to Enya.
Aww.
Oh God, Enya. I know. God bless her. A patron saint of the podcast.
Yes, indeed.
That and Mary Mueller Shutan. So.
Oh God, it's true.
Yeah. So it's, it, for me personally, it's about the balance of like being really interested in the darkness and trying to understand it. And then also like, oh, I'm not feeling so well. I need to pull back and like regroup.
And I think that's where it lies for me is that possession movies bring my frequency down so incredibly much that I feel open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I won't watch them.
And that's understandable.
Because it's like, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Sabrina Deborah was a pretty good one, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there's some good ones out there that we can handle. I can handle.
Yeah.
We, us, and the people that are around me all the time.
I have had that experience where if I... That's how I judge a good movie, though, if it affects me energetically.
Well, that's and a I'm really like, good
damn.
It got me.
Yeah, that one finally, one got me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just always waiting for something to take me down.
You know? Elizabeth.
I don't know. It's not like I want to be taken down. It's just like then I know it was a good movie because they did the job of scaring me and making, like, affecting how I feel.
The ones that get me all the time are like based on true events.
True events.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like Veronica.
Yeah, I love Veronica.
That's a Ouija board one.
Mm-hmm. Oh no shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. It's Spanish.
Oh wait, I have seen that. Yeah. I have seen that. Yeah.
Also Eclipse like, energy in that one.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Watched that alone.
You know what?
I think I'm very envious of your balls or your ovaries, shall I say.
You know,
our strength.
Your strength. Your inner strength to be able to like not let your mind go to a place that then believes it's real. And I think that's what happens to me.
Yeah. Well, it is real. I'm sorry. But it is, sweetie.
But you know what I mean?
Like
that could be that it could be in my four walls.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But I will say that I do have a threshold too. So things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, cannot do it. Can't watch it. Don't want to know anything about it. Even things like Silence of the Lambs. Like, I've only seen that once because it scared me too much. Seven, only seen it once because that really, really, really scared me.
That one bothers me too. Yeah.
So, you know, we all have our... Like, I really love movies, horror movies, that are totally based off of either the occult or... ghosties.
Yeah.
That's my genre. That's what I like.
So, anyway. I love a good ghost movie.
I do too. And that's like where Jim and I are always like, oh, those good, the good hauntings. And
yes.
I think Orphan was one that,
there's a happy ending in that one, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Yeah. Or The Others, which is so incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Anyway.
Oh, and he's just like hanging out in the house.
He just like wears a sheet.
Oh,
Was that
Ghost? I think it might have. Oh, it was. I felt like it was about depression, kind of.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. That one. That one got me. Like, made me feel sad. Yeah.
But it was kind of trippy too,
because
like, you travel through time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Ugh. Should I go?
Yeah. What was yours, Leslie?
Hey guys.
Hey.
It's Leslie. And,
hi cutie.
Hey, my absolute favorite, and I can't believe I haven't talked about it before in the setting is Witches of Eastwick.
Oh,
1987 yes. All-star cast, Jack Nicholson, Susan Sarandon, Cher, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Oh God.
Veronica. What was her name? The guy from Step Brothers, the dad from Step Brothers is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica Cartwright, I think, who always kind of comes around in other like weird little witchy movies and shows up as a witch, or she was a fortune teller in The Tales of Sabrina. Mm. But yeah, so real quick, and I won't go into it because we all know Witches of Eastwick, and if you don't, you'll know about it soon enough. But it was based on a novel by John Updike, written in 1984. And it was a TV series briefly, and I was obsessed with the TV series. I was so upset that it was taken off the air, and that ran from 2009 to 2010. starring Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm, amongst other wonderful actresses and actors. But we have Maid Mother Crone, the mm-hmm. three, the magic of three.
Yes, we do.
We've got the magic again of blonde hair, red hair, black hair, uh-huh. just like the Sanderson sisters
just
too.
Just like it.
Which we see often as sort of the trinity of witches. Charlie's right. Right? If you see, you know, a group of three, typically, you know, female witches, they're going to kind of have that yeah. lead with that hair color. Taking place in a New England town called Eastwick in Rhode Island. You know, for me, I wanted to talk more. I mean, we know like the basis of it.
We know
but
what
Cher
happens.
Makes these what they call booby dolls or Yalba dolls.
Yeah.
Yalbo
dolls.
Yalbo dolls. But they look like the Venus of Willendorf.
Yes,
like
they
these
do.
Fertility yeah. dolls.
They're cool.
Then and Alex is a sculptor. This is played by Cher. And Alex, if you think of each one of the women, Alex is very water energy. Mm-hmm. Even lives on a place like you have to walk down a bridge into a running river area. And so she's the artist, the visionary. She has this sort of psychic ability, divination. She has this whole divination thing. So we kind of open up to the women gathering. We don't open up, but like there's a scene with this principal and he does this whole speech that's just mind-numbing and he's not a good guy and he's been a sexual assaulter. Mm-hmm. And the girls are all sitting there in the crowd. They have their daughters, their kids in school. And at the same time, all sort of imagine the storm rolling out. Like, just get me the hell out of here. You know, storm rolls in, cut to all the women gathering that night. Hey, all I could do was sit there and think about, you know, the storm rolling and blah, blah, blah. So they realize, wow, we all thought that and made it happen. So this was like sort of the beginning of them understanding that their words have power and that there is power in how they're manifesting as a group and as a coven, I could even say. But that night, they kind of talk about how they meet every Thursday. So they're already secretly gathering as a coven every Thursday. Thursday's ruled by Jupiter, a day of luck, always an auspicious day to kind of do this kind of working. And they just sit there and they've all like, one's been left behind, one husband has died, and one husband, and then divorce, and then Jane divorced. And they're manifesting the perfect person. Mm-hmm. And so in comes Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. And
total dreamboat, by the way. Total babe.
Gotta talk about that ponytail. I'm so sorry.
Okay, Elizabeth. Go ahead. Share your favorite character.
That's my favorite character is the ponytail. It's so the ridiculous. Ponytail.
Is this Black Phillip in 1987?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
yes, it is.
He wants these women to live deliciously.
Yes, he
because
does.
That's the devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jack Nicholson, not only being the devil, is also the epitome of the devil card in tarot.
Uh-huh.
You know, the devil card in tarot isn't a terrible card. Mm-hmm. You know, it encourages you to, because he says to Alex, he goes, you're making these small dolls. You're thinking too small. Think big, make a grander scale. Like, think outside the box. You're playing too small. Mm-hmm. And he's encouraging all of these women, like, you are playing too small in your life. You don't understand the power that you have. How he goes on and on and on in every instance, every scene that Jack Nicholson is in until the end, loves women.
Yep.
These are the most incredible beings in the world. They are the most powerful. They are brilliant. Men are pigs. They don't even think, it like just goes on and on, just like holding women up. But also a tempter.
Yeah.
What are you going? You know, Alex, why are you leaving? You're just going to go home to your daughter. You're just going to do this thing. Like, go back to that life that is so monotonous to you. Just have butter. Eat the butter. Eat the butter. But yeah, so do you guys see that? Did you feel that way too with
absolutely.
Him as he came in?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He also kind of was manipulating them too.
Oh, for sure.
That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So,
you know, Black Phil and I.
It's, well, I mean, but that's also like an aspect of the devil card too, you know, manipulation and mm-hmm. enslavement in a way. And pitting them against each other, you know, that sort of scenario, which often happens in friend groups.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really love his presentation of the devil and how he created this character, because he's really not doing like the stereotypical like devil stuff where, like, as far as like how he physically looks, you know, it's Jack Nicholson. I think at his best, mm-hmm. personally. I mean, this is probably my favorite character that he's ever played, except for The Shining. Mm-hmm. That was really great too. But
yeah, he's like a bad boy, playboy, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Little ponytail. Mm-hmm.
Little ponytail. He's got a pool.
He's got a great pool.
I would have gone over there.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just to be friends.
Mm-hmm. But I would not have let him talk down to me like that.
Well, she puts him in his place. She does put him in his place.
Somehow he convinces her to get into bed with him.
I know.
I can't get behind that.
Just your average horny little devil. All the while, Clyde's wife, Felicia, is keen to the evil coming into the town.
She was interesting.
Yeah.
I think that she's a fascinating character because she's the only one that's like, do you know what's going on up there? Do you see what he's doing? He's manipulating these people. Nobody needs to be living in the Lennox Mansion. It's a historical home. It's, you know, harboring. What was the word? Housing, harboring, harboring.
It's a habitat for the egrets. we understand.
It's Mercury retrograde. For the snowy egrets.
Yeah.
Yes. And so she's saying, you know, nobody needs to be up there. This needs to be, you know, preserved space. It doesn't need to be for the fornication of the devil and his concubines. So she's very, and so she also too, we know that, she falls and breaks her leg when his name is mentioned. Mm-hmm. She runs, they take her to the hospital and she kind of goes through this healing process, which, is arduous for her. I think he starts to pick up on the fact that she's spewing truth in town. So he encourages the girls to sort of cast a spell unknowingly by eating all these cherries.
Yep.
Which then we have the iconic scene of, and this, like, when I tell you this is a movie I would come home every day after school when I was in, you know, the sixth grade, and I would watch it every day. So I can't even tell you how many times I've seen this, but this scene always got me because she spews all these cherry pits all over the house.
It was so gross.
But her acting, she's inside me, Clyde. You know, she's just like, oh, I can feel him coming to the surface. You know, and then
she's like,
it's like she's possessed by him too, you know? Well, Clyde can't take it anymore.
Clyde has to say though is, what have you been eating? Like, that's it. Clyde.
Yeah, just Clyde.
What a dope.
Come on, Clyde.
He's checked out.
He is. So she's kaput. Mm-hmm. And Clyde's life is pretty much over. And so we're already experiencing, you know, drama in the community as it's spewing out even more. The girls kind of catch on to this, realize, hey, this guy's manipulating us. He's making us say and do things. He's taking us away from, you know, our responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. They start hollering at one another, realizing that they're starting to fight amongst one another. And again, their words have power and they sort of break the earth beneath them and they run away and they're taking time away. And then he gets back at them by trying to break them down by each and every one of their fears. Mm-hmm. And in the end, they come together and decide we're going to have to come together to kind of put him away, exorcise him. Mm-hmm. And they make one of my most favorite like kitchen scenes.
That's my favorite scene in the movie.
Is them like melting all this wax down and making the poppet of him. And they fill it with his hair and all sorts of things. And then they start like putting pins in it, and the dog grabs it and throws it across the room. And they're thinking like, and then all the while you cut to Jack Nicholson is like being thrown all over town. Yep. They ended up eating cherries, doing the same thing to him that they did Felicia. And then they hear the car pull up and they're like, did it work? And they all sit there like, don't know, did it work? Did it, like, still doubting their power. Mm-hmm. Still after all this time doubting their power. And then, of course, it did work. And we have the crazy weird scene of him turning into this giant malformed.
Uh-huh.
And they toss it into the fire, and then he, like, pops into, like, a little star and, like, vanishes.
Yeah.
He turns into a weird little baby before that. Like, what is that?
I think the ponytail was still there.
I hope so.
I know. He's like, look at that. And then next scene, 18 months later, three little boys.
Yep. That's right.
Red-haired, raven-haired, and blonde. Mm-hmm. And he comes onto the TV and starts talking to the kids, mm-hmm. pulling them forth, and the girls walk in and remote control that shit off. Mm-hmm. Power it down. There it is.
Great film.
Ta-da.
Great mm-hmm. pick.
Yep.
Love it. I love how all three of us have different facets of Spooky Season within each of these movies. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Like, how so? What do you think? Oh, because you've got like the...
Yeah, I got like the trick-or-treat candy, you know, not scary at all. You know, the bright side of Halloween season, you know, and then you've got your more drama filled.
Yeah.
But still a comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Situation. And then we've got the creep factor, which is, I mean, that's part of this time of year, you know.
Just as important. Yeah.
Mm hmm. That's
devil.
Great. Great picks, guys. Great picks.
But in there again, though, like the devil and all of those
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
witch scenarios, even the book is like
yeah.
thought to be gifted to Winifred oh, yeah. by the devil.
Yeah, by right? the devil, made of human skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Playing a big part in each of these films. Mm-hmm. Leslie, mm-hmm.
yes.
our yes. listeners yes. have some film yes. suggestions.
Yes. So you might have to, I'm going to try not to read what we've already talked about. Tale of Two Sisters. Are you familiar with this?
I'm not familiar with
this. I'm not familiar with this. Cultivated Wellness Center, thank you for answering. Tale of Two Sisters, The Exorcist, and Let the Right One In.
Ooh.
Which is one of my favorites, too.
Yes.
Anything on Tale of Two Sisters? We might have to circle back and find out some information on that and share that with you guys when we get closer to putting up. The Cedar Chest of Fermia, I'm very excited about this one, too. The Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
On Disney Plus, Jim and I cannot wait to watch it. We are so
we should watch that tomorrow night.
Yes, you should. I'm excited. I'm a big Muppet lover.
We love it too.
Oh, I love it so.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So thank you, Cedar Chest of Fermia. Stitch and Spell, Lost Boys, classic.
Oh
over
yeah.
Here.
Oh, yeah. Lost Boys is great. And it's been years since I've seen that. That's a great suggestion.
It's Jim and I probably watch it every mm-hmm. 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of my, right up there with Witches of East. I've watched mm-hmm. a lot. Bat for Lashes. I was listening to Bat for Lashes all today. And she put out an album last year, 2019 or 2020, called The Lost Boys.
Oh.
And it's all about like the female gang. Are you familiar with it?
Oh, no, I didn't
it's
know
good.
About that.
And she does a lot of... like sort of vampire inspired songs and stuff on that album. So maybe while you're popping the popcorn, put that album on. The Birds coming up here. Mm-hmm. The Others, we talked about mm-hmm. that as yep. well. We've got Crimson Peak.
Oh yeah.
Just for the costumes.
Mm-hmm. I recently watched that one.
Yeah. Jim and I watched it the first time I'd like to rewatch it. We both mm-hmm. agreed we need to rewatch that one.
I really like this story, the concept of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is kind of that like out into the middle of nowhere by the sea sort
yeah.
of.
Mm.
The setting's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The Conjuring mm-hmm. coming up here. The Ring.
Oh.
I couldn't handle The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great one.
Oh, you love that one too.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Turn of the Screw. I'm not familiar with that.
Uh-uh.
Chase and Scout Jewelry. Turn of the Screw. Genevieve Diane. Practical Magic. The Others. The Shining. And there's just a couple more. The Good Witches Wears. House of 1,000 Corpses.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I also have a difficult time with the torture horror. But
mm-hmm. I have trouble with that, too. Was that the Rob Zombie film?
Yeah. Wild Witch Woman, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Totally.
Fave. That was last year.
Yep.
Jim's pick last year.
Yep.
And Liz Frontnet, The Witch, of course. Oh, yes. Another classic one. That's it.
That's great. Great suggestions, you guys.
Yeah, a couple newbies there that I'm not familiar with. So I love hearing everybody chiming in and sharing their favorites as well.
Me too. Well, this has been an absolute delight. And I love you guys.
Love you too.
I love you too.
Oh, boy. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my
today.
Gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
Your insights were fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
And your recommendations, A+. And I can't wait to watch some of them.
Yeah.
The Ask a Hag podcast is produced by Donna Kyler. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you like to listen. You can be a part of the podcast too. Leave us a voice message on the Anchor FM app and we'll play it on the show. And don't forget to review us, guys, on Apple Podcasts. We love 5 stars and it helps people find our show. You can find this podcast on Instagram at ask.a.hag or at askahagpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Stay spooky. No alien movies.
Alien's more of a Thanksgiving thing.
Thanksgiving. Really?
Is that so, Donna? Do you know how long it took me to watch The Sign? No. Well, Jim and I first started 17 years. 20 years probably. Because I think 17 years had already been out for 5 years. So add another, like, so 20, let's just say 25 years.
You can watch 2 minutes and then turn it off.
I was like, I can't, it's like aliens, I can't do it.
I didn't know you were afraid of aliens somehow that...
I'm very
me.
Afraid. Ooh. I'm very afraid.
Good to know.
But I'm certain that Ren is an extraterrestrial. Ren is my new kitten. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to soften to the idea. So, you know, there's that.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, they don't creep me out. Not at all.
I think they're a good time.
Yeah, I think so
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think they're more for fun.
I knew someone...
Just for fun.
They're fun.
I think they're just here for fun.
Aren't we all?
Yes. God. Yes, we are. But I knew somebody in college that insisted on wearing... This is so stupid that I know this about this person, but they insisted on wearing underpants to bed because... And this is a grown person, a person in their 20s, okay? Mm-hmm. Because they believed that by wearing their underwear, they would not receive the anal probe when the when the aliens come and pick them up.
Because they don't understand underpants.
No, they don't understand underpants.
I mean, they don't wear any.
So.
It's like, did you ever have like the Ken doll in the early 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Barbie was like completely nude.
Oh, yeah.
But Ken just conveniently had like a pair of underwear already
briefs.
On his body.
Tighties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. The
that
worst.
Didn't happen until like the... There were some 70s Kens that were free bought. Like they were like down to the nudes.
No
but
waistband.
To the nudes. No waistband.
No
Oh, man.